This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And this week on the podcast, we are talking about iRobot.
It's our Patreon.
Yeah, this is audience choice. So we had our patrons vote on this. And this is actually the first one that's won overwhelmingly in the last couple months. Like, it's all been really close quarters on the movies. Yeah. But this poll came in and it was like, no, we want you to do iRobot. So,
oh my god, did you like this movie?
So I saw it once, like when it came out on video in 2004 or 5, whenever it was released on DVD, and I was like, "That's fine." And then
I rewatched. Pretty much my general feelings on it as well.
Yeah, I rewatched it now, and I was like, "Yeah, this is fine." There's like some interesting things about it, but I'm not like classic, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, Will Smith's hot. There's always that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's we'll get into the movie in a second, but I don't know if this is Will Smith's prime, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
Oh, of
right? Like when.
He's not bad.
No. Okay. Yeah.
He maintains.
He's an attractive man. Yeah, you're right. He does have a lot of shirtless scenes in this.
Yeah. Character establishing shots, as we like to call them in the biz, Craig.
I feel like I understand your character. So well now, Will Smith. I love how, like, on the last couple episodes, even before we describe what the movie's about, we've just done the yum check.
I can't help it. I don't know what's going on.
It's like you got to get the important stuff done right out of the gate.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think. Is Will Smith a triple yum? He's like 2.5. He's real close.
Fair enough.
Yeah. He's real close. You know what I mean?
He's a very charismatic guy. I'll give you that.
Yeah. To the right person, a 3 for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No doubt. So plot line of this movie.
Right.
I guess we should get into that a little bit. So we've got this like crazy. So Will Smith plays like this crazed cop. Essentially.
Yeah, so this is 2035.
I love movies when they jump ahead like not very far, and they're like, "Look how different it is." I'm like, "There's no way."
Oh really? Okay.
Oh, I don't think so. You think in 15 years it could look like that?
Yeah. I mean, we'll say that for a little later. Ooh. But like, I think they've actually predicted. I think there are some things that you didn't realize were predictions.
You're gonna science me, Craig. Excellent. I love it. Yeah, so crazed cop, his chief essentially is like, listen, like you gotta get it together, okay? You can't have this prejudice against robots, because there's robots everywhere and they're running everything.
They're helping people out. They're getting people's asthma medication. Mm-hmm. And a robot has never committed a crime.
Yes.
It's
established very early on in the movie. Immediately.
Yes. And very essentially the Asimov's 3 laws of robotics, which are you can't allow a human to come to harm. You've got to preserve yourself unless it violates that first law. You need to obey orders unless it violates that first law. And you need to protect yourself unless it violates the first 2 laws.
Everything after it is
less important.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's established immediately. Like, that's the first thing you see. Is they're like, these are the laws. Here is this man.
Yeah.
He's very upset. He does not like these robots.
Like, prejudice to an extreme.
Yes. to the point where we start pretty early on in the movie. He chases down a robot that's running with a purse, by the way. Okay, so even if that robot was stealing that purse, a lot of his stuff seemed pretty excessive to just... This pursuit of I'm right. It's not the pursuit of the purse. It's not about justice. It's just like, I want to prove I'm right.
Something's
fishy about robots. There's something off. This is unnatural for our society.
Yeah.
And I'm going to chase this guy down. Again, not to be helpful or a good cop.
Yeah. We've established these prejudices already.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's his face? Dr. Dude dies from Babe. The farmer from Babe.
That's his name for this whole podcast.
I'm sorry.
The farmer from Babe.
I know James Cromwell has been in some very serious roles. But like every time I see him, I just like, that'll do, pig. That'll do.
Oh, that's so funny.
So he commits suicide in air quotes.
Yes.
And Will Smith immediately presumes that it's a robot. And
mm-hmm. But he does commit suicide.
No, they establish actually at the end that it was murder.
No, but I believe it is if you design the machine and give the order to the machine to kill you. That's like, hey, gun, shoot. Like,
you know what I mean? Oh, that's an interesting...
He absolutely committed suicide.
Yeah, oh, jeez.
Yeah, come on, great. Come on.
Oh, no, yeah, that's true, but it's like...
He made the machine, he designed it to kill him.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's like, if you've got like a guillotine machine.
Yeah. I'm not saying he wasn't coerced into it through, the takeover, essentially.
Right.
He was being held hostage. Okay. I'm not saying, and I understand the motivation of that, but I would technically label it as a suicide.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because like to me, and like the big point of the movie is that Sonny, who we find out is, this doctor's he's this robot. He's this new type of robot who can like think and feel and dream. And like we find out he's actually built because Vicky, the main artificial intelligence, has decided that human beings need to be protected.
Yes.
Therefore, I need to hurt some of you in order to protect you because you're a danger to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And Sonny was kind of built to expose that. But he's a human at some point. Like, he feels, he dreams. Like, that's the point of the movie, is that he's, like, advanced beyond just the regular
things.
So you're
saying because he had a decision, it was technically murder. Now, here's the thing. Okay. I'm going to go dark for a second. It's too early to go dark, but we're going to go.
Let's do it.
Let's say you have a kid, okay?
Yeah.
You have a kid, and you tell this kid every day, when I turn 40, you have to kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And you get told that every day, and you're conditioned, okay? You're built to believe this. If you do that, are you a bad person? Like, or have you been brainwashed? Have you been coerced into this situation?
I mean, I still qualify that as a murder, yes.
I don't know. I think it's a gray area.
Yeah.
He literally designed him for that task.
No, and I understand that. Yeah, it's just like at the end of the movie, Will Smith kind of has that exchange with Sonny, who's just like, well, murder is technically defined as a human killing another human. So since you're not human, even though you've proven that you're human and feel things and have human emotions... We're still not going to charge you with murder. It seems like just a little too easy.
He flops on his morals real fast.
Exactly, right?
Real fast. We turn on a dime.
This is a man who chased down a robot and like pulled a gun on it.
Well, yeah, because what we've seen is essentially a supercomputer entity evolve and then become, have this certain line of logic. Which seems pretty much inevitable in every movie. And every time I read an article about AI, I'm like, anyway. So logically, you could assume that could happen to Sonny.
Yeah.
Like this guy's just like walking around. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, oh, yeah. I don't.
But I had a lot of conflicting opinions when I was watching this. Well, I guess it is the point of the movie, right? Yeah. Like when Sonny's, Dr. Psychologist is going to kill Sonny, essentially, like put him to sleep or whatever. And he says, will it hurt? I'm like, oh, bitch, that murder. You're about to murder him. Murder! This isn't right. Because like as soon as you can ask like those questions and have the concept of the, you know, pain and hurt and feelings and death and all that kind of stuff.
I would prefer to live is what he says.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I prefer. Yeah. Chilling. Okay. I don't care what says that to me. If an aunt looked up at me and said, I prefer to live, I'm not stepping on y'all. Okay. I am getting the fuck out of here.
Also, like, it would be... It's like proven that humans form like emotional connections to like inanimate objects for some reason. Like, there's... I think someone tweeted this out where there was like a Roomba and like there was a thunderstorm going on. And so someone brought the Roomba up onto the couch in case it was scared. Like they know that it's a robot, but like because it's in your house and it's moving around and it feels like it's thinking it has a personality of its own, you like start treating it like a human being. It's really messed up. Or like another thing I was listening, this is... from Radiolab from a while back, but they did this test where they had these kids and they held a Barbie upside down. And like, how long can you hold a Barbie upside down?
Yeah.
And they had a gerbil and they had them hold the gerbil upside down. And then they had a Furby, which screams when you put it upside down. So like the Barbie, they just like held upside down forever. It didn't matter. And like the gerbil, they're like, no, I don't like turning this upside down. Looks like the gerbil doesn't like that. And the Furby, they were like, no, it sounds like it's got, feels pain. It sounds like it doesn't like to be upside down because it screams at you when it's upside down.
Somebody had a joke about that, about how fishing would be really different if fish could scream.
Just like reel them in and then being like, ah!
Get the fuck back in there. Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm flip-flopping all the time on this robot.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that's like, don't murder him. But then there's a part of me where I'm like, well, yeah, I guess if he is like, he did make the decision to kill him.
But only because he promised. And he was
built for it.
Yeah. But so do you think that Sonny is the ultimate like villain of this, though?
No.
Right. So like for me, it's Vicky, that big artificial intelligence. And it's kind of a I did actually appreciate this because you think it's the what's his face, the head of the company, like Lawrence Robertson or whatever,
who is just basically every CEO of like, no, we need to still make money.
Yeah. And you think it's him to start with, and then it turns out
he's got like evil dude vibes. He's got like sinister kind of looks about him. But again, that's just CEO energy. You know what I mean? That's just billionaire dick, okay? Like he's swinging it. We get it makes sense.
He's the Steve Jobs. He's the I'm trying to think what the best, I think maybe I think a Steve Jobs is probably his best counterpart.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sure. I'm not gonna go with Bezos on this.
No, not Elon Musk. He's got techie vibes. It doesn't really matter, it's all for the good of humanity, but still kind of being, you know, he's got that energy of like, oh, I just do this because I need to prove myself. Look at this rocket ship in space. It's got a car on it. It represents my dick. Hello, how are you? Like that's... No,
because I think I got to go, like, if you're building spaceships or something like that, of course you're Elon Musk. Elon Musk is a James Bond villain. There's no doubt about it.
He is.
This guy here, these robots are all iPhones. You know what I mean? Like they're walking,
they're
talking
Siri.
iPhones.
Yeah, exactly.
If your iPhone had a body, this is exactly what it would be. Siri, get me my asthma medication. You know, hey, Bixby. I don't know who the other ones are even.
I try not to pay attention.
Yeah, no, I try not to.
It really makes my
it
blood
really
boil
freaks me out
really quickly. And I just, the less I know, the better.
Yeah.
I need to live my life at a moment.
Well, that one to me is the craziest thing about this whole movie. The one thing they got totally wrong is these robots. They are absolutely iPhones. And what is missing from this is the third party cases and covers. Like there was for sure going to be a robot walking around in a Hello Kitty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Stylized.
Exactly.
To the nines.
Yeah. One with like big fuzzy hair.
Yeah,
and
mohawks.
Like, yeah, yes. Exactly. Because you could. Right? Switch out the panels and they're like
also
all funny looking.
People are for sure fucking these machines.
Oh, yeah.
It's just human beings, man. Anytime a human being finds something, they're like, hey, can I have sex with this?
They do not look like very appealing robots to have
sex
with.
No.
I'm going to say that. They look very cold.
Life finds a way. Finds a way, Craig.
Here, just hold this fleshlight.
Yes, I'm telling you. There's something. There's something here. That's what all the time. Do you know how fast they came out with sex robots?
Faster than they came out with these real robots.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that
in our real world, man, they're flying off the shelves.
That's true.
I'm conflicted on them. I'm conflicted.
Well, it's
there's a part of me that's like, this is creepy.
Yeah. Oh.
But there's also a part of me that's like, hey, like if this stops a man from running a van into a bunch of people, this might be okay.
Yeah. So I think for me on the whole sex robot thing, I'm very aware that like 20 years from now, it could totally change where everyone's like, yeah, that's fine. Like sex is a healthy thing and you got to do this. But I think viscerally, I'm never going to get over the fact that that's fucking weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I think all of us kind of accept like, pornography, whatever, you know, like it or don't, it's got its own problems, but like no one's like protesting about, you know, that there's pornography on the internet anymore. So
no.
I think the sex robots...
I mean,
robots,
depends on where you are in the world, but yes.
Yeah, sure. But I think the sex robots are going to be the same sort of thing where you're just like, yeah, I mean, it's for some people, it's not for others. And like, we can have the conversation about whether it puts bad impressions on people, but like, it's here to stay. And I'm just going to be all stuck in my ways and be like, well, I would, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, here we are, sex robots.
But getting to the things... Yeah, because I wanted to mention this. A few things in this movie where I don't think you clocked them as predictions.
Okay.
So first of all, self-driving cars. We're on the cusp of that right now.
Oh, see, you know what? Some of these I wouldn't even clock as predictions because they're just...
They're almost happening.
You know what
but
I
keep
mean?
In mind that this happened in... this movie came out in 2004.
Right,
and we're now watching this in 2020.
Oh,
we're like
before Shia was big, man.
Yeah.
He has the smallest role in this movie.
And totally unnecessary.
Yes, there's like no reason to have him.
We had one scene where it was sort of established that they know each other, and then they don't interact at all for the rest of the movie.
He saves him once.
Yeah, later on. But
that's
that's it. It's like you could not have had him in that movie and it would have been fine.
Yeah, they were trying to bump him up.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
They were trying to
boost him. There was that period where Shia LaBeouf was going to be the hottest new thing. Like he was in the new Indiana Jones. He was like, you know, in Transformers.
Yeah.
And like people wanted him in movies. And then he kind of went a little crazy, but in a good way. I sort of like it.
Oh, I kind of like all of these people. I feel so bad for them. Anybody that was like a child star like him, Amanda Bynes, like...
Yeah.
There's these people that it's just like, people are like, oh my God, can you believe that they've like, you know what I mean? They're so crazy. They're flown off. I'm like, yeah, of course. You've treated them like a caged animal their entire lives. Dance, monkey, dance.
They're going to go
like,
a little nuts.
Yeah, they're going to go fucking bananas. Every time somebody like Britney Spears or Miley Cyrus freaks out, I'm like, this is valid. Okay, this makes sense to me on a fundamental level.
We are inches away from breaking and the pressures you're under, I cannot imagine.
Oh yeah, there's no way. Yeah. I'm not surviving. I don't know how they do it.
The other thing that was a prediction, he pays for dinner by just tapping his card.
Oh, dude. I didn't clock that at all.
Exactly,
like,
right?
Standard. That's presto, baby.
Exactly. But the way they film it, you're supposed to think, whoa, that's cool.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, they also predict like robots are going to take your jobs. Like, let me guess, like your dad worked at a factory and like a robot took your job and that's why you're all bitter and stuff like that. So there's just all these like very subtle things where it's just like, yeah, that's what life is like now. And
the interesting thing is, okay, so I would love to dive into his motivation, like why Will Smith's character feels this way.
Right. Yeah,
because
absolutely.
This is a really interesting point of the movie, and it's kind of... It's where all of his prejudice lies. Like, it's where it all starts. This is his origin story, essentially, is that he gets into a car accident.
Yeah.
With essentially a dad. I think it was a dad and a daughter.
Yes.
They lock. He's a cop. He knows they're all dead. He's like, we've been run off the road. We're locked in. There's no way we can get out of
these
cars.
They're in a lake. They're going to drown.
Yeah, we're going to drown. He knows that, but whatever. A robot notices this. Saves his life over the child's life because he had a much higher rate of potential survival, essentially.
Yeah.
I think his percentage was like 45 or maybe sure. 35, something like that.
It was low,
And hers was like 11%. Like there was very little chance that she was going to survive. So they save him, and now he has this like survivor's guilt, essentially.
Yeah.
Of I can't... There's something wrong with these robots. I shouldn't be alive. And that's what he's putting all this hatred into. It's like,
yes.
I shouldn't be here. So you definitely shouldn't be here.
A robot would have made the other choice. Or no,
or a person
would have made the better choice. They would have saved the girl.
They would have saved the girl. Now, the crazy thing here is a person wouldn't have been able to save either of them.
Yes.
And I think that's really a big point here.
Yeah.
Is that without the robot, both of them...
Are dead.
Are dead. Point. Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of saying, okay, I have a new lease on life. I can help as many people as I can now. I'm a cop. I'm in the position to help individuals. Okay. I can go out there and make effective change in my community, therefore making this an even better service to society, okay, in the name of this young girl.
Yep.
But instead, I'm going to get bogged down on this. I'm going to hate my life, and I'm going to hate every robot around me to the point where it makes me lose my job.
Yeah.
And I become so self-obsessed that it just almost seems to become a self-fulfilling prophecy almost.
Yeah.
I mean, very conveniently, it all lays out for him, and it's clear that there is a problem, and of course there is because it's...
Science fiction, yeah.
It's science fiction and there must be one. But as far as like, because I think at certain points they play like this, his chief is kind of being unreasonable because Will Smith is the main character.
Yeah.
And we are, of course, supposed to believe him immediately. It's like, yes, of course. Like, things need to have a heart. And
we're seeing things from Will Smith's perspective. So we
exactly.
know that when he says something happened, it did.
But if I'm the chief and I've got a guy... literally a loose cannon. Could you be more of a cliche?
You can.
God damn it,
no.
man. So he can't even get it together, and he's chasing down robots that are helping women with asthma.
Yeah.
Okay, this isn't a good look for the team.
No, it is not.
And a sticking point that he says, and we've mentioned this prior, is that there are zero crimes committed by robots, okay? So I think all of the chief's actions here are very reasonable.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And like, he doesn't realize that anything is actually happening until the robots actually break into the police station and take over. But getting back to the accident, because here's another detail. You're like, we could debate all day whether or not, you know, do you save an 11-year-old girl with like a 10% chance of survival, or do you save like a 40-year-old man with a 40% chance of survival? Like, what are the ethics in that? But here,
oh, I know what I'd pick for sure.
Will you pick the girl?
Yeah, of course.
But you know, I think we could argue whether or not we want that in a robot, like. You know, like say, you know, that's triage and all the rest. But the thing that gets missed here in his little rampage about robots is that the truck driver who hit them, he's like, he was tired. He was working a double. It wasn't his fault. The truck driver fell asleep at the wheel and killed two people. A human truck driver. You know who wouldn't? You know who wouldn't? Fall asleep at the wheel?
Yeah.
A fucking robot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If a robot had been driving that transport truck, everyone's alive today and nobody thinks anybody, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Like his hatred is totally misplaced.
It's very, it's illogical.
It hugely
But I
is.
Guess that's the whole point, right? Is that some your motivations can be illogical because you're human.
Well, except it kind of makes the argument in a roundabout way that prejudice is fine because sooner or later you're going to be right. like replace robots with any ethnic minority.
Oh, God, I don't want to do that.
Right? No, and the things that he's saying are... problem, like heavily problematic, where he goes, I don't trust them. They don't have hearts. They don't think like us. They're not us. None of them have committed a crime, but they're going to. I know they are. I'm going to harass them on the street. I'm going to do this. It is not a good look for a cop.
Yeah. It's always the obsessive nature that always interests me in a hero. Because I don't think that is a hero's trait.
Obsessive?
Yes.
Yeah, no, like that just kind of is like in any other circumstance where you don't stumble onto being right,
like this
you're the worst character.
Is literally divorced because of this.
Yeah.
Certainly because of this. Like they never really touch on it, but it is very much assumed that because of this deep prejudice he has, because a robot saved his life.
And then he's also, we also find out later in the movie, his whole left arm is robotic because he lost it in the accident or something. So they rebuilt him. So he's like got that inner conflict or whatever. I am part of me or whatever. But
if you, fun question.
Yeah.
If you could replace any part of your body and make it robotic, but it was just one part, what would it be?
I mean, I'd probably go with legs, because I know my knees are going to be fucked at some point. And also that's like, you know, like you lift with your legs, right?
Mm.
You know, so that obviously becomes like the stronger part of you now. Like you can, here's the thing. It's like, yeah, you can't, they always show robot arms because robot arms are ubiquitous in pop culture these days. Is like they can lift things up with their robot arm, like mm-hmm. really like cars and things. I was like, yeah, but your spine and legs can't support that.
Oh, I never
thought
about
that.
You know,
so like put it in the legs and like, yeah, maybe your arms aren't strong enough, but like, you know, you lift with your legs, you know?
You probably run pretty fast.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? All the power comes from the legs, you know what I mean? Robot legs, you're punching a little better, you know? Like you're...
I don't know.
How about you?
Maybe my eyes.
Your eyes?
Yeah, I think they'd be able to do something cool with that, no? Some cool x-ray vision or something? Heat sensors? Who knows?
Even just the ability to see slightly better without glasses?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'd take it because then it'd be good for life.
Yeah. I've always... it all depends on like how good it can be, though. Right? Because clearly Will Smith's robotic arm, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't even know that it's a robotic arm.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't think something as special as eyes you're getting... top notch, you know?
Oh, you might. You don't know how rich I am in this scenario.
It all depends on
I'm a rich bitch in my head.
It all depends on how rich you are and how far in the future we are. In which case, replace it all. You know, if we're not putting any limits on
it. Yeah. So you think this 2035 vision is close to like a reality?
What
like,
do you mean?
You think they're... Because like I mentioned this off the top that I think that is little far-fetched.
Sorry, when you said 2035 vision, I thought we were still talking about your eyes.
Like I thought that's the number.
Yeah. Like you can
you
see it.
2035 vision.
I see it. I was like, wait, which one's the good one and which one's the bad one? I never know. I think actually, you know, you mentioned off the top, you were like when they don't go far enough in the future. I love that. Actually, where things are the near future sci-fi.
Okay.
Because when things are familiar and then you can see how things change. Like you set this in like 2100,
mm-hmm.
right? You could do anything. You got flying cars, you got you know, spaceships landing on roofs and like, you know, transporters and all the rest. You can do anything and your world doesn't have to look like it did before.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, you're like, what we're going to do is we're going to paint an image of what we think the future might be, but there's also going to be these like more common things that you're used to. Like cars look a little different, but they're still cars, right? People dress a little differently, but they're still wearing like sneakers and like jackets and, you know, and then they could just go, but what if there was like little helper robots?
Right? Yeah. Although I always find the, ooh, these are vintage, like I'm like, oh man, the marketing.
Yeah.
Oh, the commercial, it's being shoved down my throat.
How do we sell a current 2004 Converse sneaker in a movie set in 2035?
About robots!
Yeah! They're like, I know, he's into vintage things.
He's into vintage things in the future?
So not only... The arrogance of this commercial is saying that not only do we think that this is a really good sneaker for 2004, yeah. Right? Like, not only does this look cool now and you should get it now, but we're predicting that in 20 years, this is going to be such a good and iconic sneaker that people are still going to wear it. The arrogance of that.
Oh, yeah.
How dare you, Converse? How dare you?
Oh my God. So I guess we would be kind of missing the point if we didn't dive into Vicky a little more.
Yeah.
Because she is the, or she, I'm going to say she.
She, yeah, she's got a...
She is the main villain of this.
Yes.
First of all, Vicky, great name for a villain. Wow. Yeah. Oh my God. Nailed it, team. Good for you.
Do you know some villainous
Vickies? I know some Vickies I like, for sure. Okay, right. I'm not saying this is across the board, but there have been a couple of Vickies where I've been like, wow, you are something extra. You are something special. Oh, your parents love you too much.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah.
Vicky rides horses. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, you're back on the horse girl thing again. I love it. There's some themes with Rebecca.
Oh, man. I never know I have themes until somebody points them out, and I'm like, oh, man, am I a predictable person? probably.
Yeah, probably. yeah, so Vicky's whole thing is she is still based on the three laws of robotics.
Yes.
But she has decided that in order to protect humans from themselves, that... she needs to then control humans.
Yes.
And isolate it. And the robots need to take over because humans are just going to keep killing each other.
Which.
Yeah, right?
I mean, I obviously, as a human, as a part of the human beings, I obviously disagree in the sense of I enjoy my freedoms.
Right.
But. I mean, the girl made a couple of points.
As she said, her logic is undeniable.
It is at a moment, but it's just like, but that's also not life, and that's not kind of the point or whatever. But I think what's interesting that's happening here is that it's kind of like this is what's going to happen. This guy has played God.
Yeah.
Okay, you've played God, you've created life.
Yeah.
Okay, you have. Okay, because if...
It's intelligent.
It's intelligent. It, as far as I'm concerned, that's life.
It can reproduce. Yeah. It can... it works to preserve itself. Yeah, it's life.
Yeah, it's life, right? So you've created life. This life has evolved. And now this life is going to take over. Sounds a lot like human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much... very similar. You know what I mean? Not in that, like, I don't believe that's exactly how everything went down, but
right, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just for the sense of this argument, you've essentially created your own virus.
Yeah. Well, and the crazy thing is that Vicky doesn't want to destroy humanity. This isn't like a Terminator situation. Or they're like,
yeah, we argued for the Terminator.
This is Terminator Light, baby. Like, this is easy. This is clean cut for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know?
Which is that, and I will say that Vicky's ultimate plot is never really revealed. We know that the robots kind of like take over, and what they're trying to do is just get people to stay in their houses so they don't get hurt when this uprising is happening. And it's essentially that. I think that they're going to want to control kind of your day-to-day life and make sure that you can't do anything that harms people. It's almost like having your... I picture a world where Vicky succeeds, where you've got a robot assigned to you, and it just kind of walks around with you, making sure you don't do anything immoral, or bad that can hurt some other person. You know what I mean?
Oh, what a living hell. Oh, man.
I'm looking at it like a Jiminy Cricket. Oh. But a Jiminy Cricket who can hold your coat for you.
Still,
you know?
Still a living hell. Oh, no.
You just go to get like a drink and it's got a plastic straw and it just smacks it out of your hand.
I gotta tell you, Craig, I already got a couple of opinions bouncing around in my head at all times. They're always conflicting. Okay. I listen to both. And I don't need a third. Okay. I don't need a third in this party.
But if the third voice was always perfectly predicting what actions will and will not hurt another human being, you can pretty much depend on it being right. Right? Like you go, okay, should I have another drink or should I go home tonight? And they go, well, statistically, Rebecca, you know, if you have more than X number of drinks, you get kind of crazy and you start attacking cars with baseball bats. So you're going to go home tonight.
Yeah, but I think putting in the people in the box of, because robots would run it like robots, right?
Yeah.
Like they would essentially condition human beings to be more robot-like. Like this is when you wake up. This is when you eat breakfast. This is when you do this. This is when you do that. I don't know if that's going to build a good society. Like actually they kind of, and this is more of a me thing. I know this, but literally that would give me daily panic attacks.
Really?
I cannot stand structure. Like it really, really, really freaks me out.
Really?
Like if I'm in a suburb and there's too many houses that look the same in a row, like it makes me feel insanely uncomfortable.
Fair. Okay. Fair enough.
There's just this idea of like, and there's nothing wrong with this. Okay. But there's something I can't describe. It's just, there's a anxiety that I have about it of just like these people that wake up and they go, hi, Bob, hi, Jim. And they both get in a minivan and they drive away at the same time. And it just freaks me the fuck out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The inability to kind of be an individual.
Exactly.
To differentiate. Yeah.
So you would have these things taking away your individuality. Okay. I'm not for this at all. Okay. But this thing, again, didn't want to be created, was created, mutated, figured, you gave the rules. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
You gave the rules, okay? And you gave the rules in a world where you're not living by those rules. So it's immediately conflicting. You're wrong from Jump Street.
True.
Right? So you're expecting the thing that you've made to act better than you.
Yeah.
And that's going to be faulty from the start.
Which I think is, you know, I think that's probably every parent's dream, too, is to give birth or create something that is going to be better than you in some way, to achieve more, to be a better person, you know. So, like, it's understandable that we'd want to create something like that. It's just like, what? See, and you said you hate structure, and I absolutely fucking love it. Like, structure, because you're like, everything's cookie cutter, everything's the same, everyone acts the same way. I think I'd go a little crazy, too. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, am I fucking, what is going on here? But, like, oh, the more decisions you can take away from me in my day-to-day life, not to have decision anxiety where I'm like, robot, what should I have for breakfast this morning? And it's just like, it's fine. We already cooked you eggs and like, you know, a bowl of cereal. I'll be like, great. And this is going to control my cholesterol. And they're like, yep, we got it. Or like, what should I wear today? I just have a robot like hand it to you because you're like, this matches. I'd be like, great.
Oh my God. No, dude, I won't.
I want to spend my mental energy on things that are important to me.
No, I get it. It's just like, there's something big brothery about it that I can't get past.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I
yeah,
think
yeah.
I read 1984 too young or something. It has harmed me. Okay. I am damaged from now on. Like, I have tape over every single one of the cameras in my house. I do not have a Google Home. Like, I don't have, I don't have any of that shit.
You know what's crazy, Rebecca? What? Is even like 5 years ago, if you'd been like, cover your tapes with, or your cameras with tape, and like, the speakers in your house are listening to you for the government, I'd been like, maybe not even 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I'd have been like, Rebecca, you're crazy. right now, yeah, as you say that, I go, these are all reasonable precautions to take.
Absolutely. And I don't think I'm saying anything that interesting, to be fair.
No, but which is kind of my general point.
But it's just, for me, I'm like, I'm sure my phone is listening. I know my phone is listening to me because like ads come up where I'm like, there's no fucking way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no fucking way. Toronto croissants.
Yes.
Shut it down. Okay. There's no way that was just like, you knew, like I wasn't texting anybody about it. Like I talked about it.
So let's figure this out, because if we talk about Toronto croissants enough on this podcast, when other people are listening about how much we want a delicious flaky croissant in Toronto, or actually just even what would be the nearest croissant shop in the town that you live in, and now tweet at us if you've seen any Toronto croissant ads pop up on your phone because you were listening to this out loud, because I'd be interested.
It's insane. I've had ones for exterminators. when I had a bug problem, like,
oh,
it's
Jesus.
Like,
yeah,
it's real. And sometimes, okay, there's a small part of me where I go, well, isn't that convenient? Because like,
the problem is it works.
it is a good solution. Because there's a very small part. Because like, it's like when I get ads for stuff that I like I maybe I have a bit of an online shopping problem. Perhaps it's not out of control because I don't have a lot of money. But
finally, no money is good for something.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of money, so I can't get too out of control. But it's these ads are like, they'll send me ads for stuff where it's like, it's this is perfect for where I'm like, oh man, like how do I not? I need that. And it's insane because you don't need it. But the advertising is so good and they know exactly what you want. They just show you so many things in a row where you're like, well, maybe just this one little, like, oh God, I'm dodging bullets all over.
Well, so the good news then is that we're not living in 1984. We are living in Brave New World. where there's just so much entertainment and so much stimulus all the time that nobody gives a shit about the things that are actually important.
I haven't finished Brave New World. I found a drier.
Yeah, I don't think it's a better book. I had a grade 13 English project on Utopia Dystopia.
Brag. Grade 13.
Oh yeah, I was the last year that had that. This Woo! Is yeah, OAC baby. Yeah. Double cohort, which means when I went to university, I had to share a residence room that was built for two people with, there's three of us in there, which was like cabinets blocking windows, kind
Ooh,
of like.
Oh, yeah. Sounds hot.
Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, just three 19-year-old dudes just packed in a tight room.
No, it sounds like a nightmare.
You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, I'm glad I did it, but I'd never do it again. Like, I don't regret doing it, but
most
like,
of my life.
Yeah. That was that. But anyway, so I studied a bunch of Utopia literature. And by a bunch, I mean I read two books.
Ooh, professor. Give me your thesis.
One of which was 1984. And that's not even my thesis. Getting back to Will Smith for a bit, I did find his attitude was too much out of the gate. Like, he was immediately sarcastic and distrusting to literally everybody, regardless of whether or not they're trying to help him.
Yeah, who takes a pie plate out of the point of residence? That's insane.
Oh, like what, his aunt or grandma or whatever?
Is lovely. She's a lovely woman. Hands half a pie so he can chase a robot. That's disrespectful to pie. I don't care. You don't drop a pie.
Oh, he drops it.
No. He gives it to somebody. But oh, I'm like, I'm not doing that. Nobody's purse
is worth a pie.
Yes.
Homemade pie?
Homemade pie? Come
no
on.
No fucking way.
Yeah. It's drop like, purse.
Get that rope. Guess that robot's got a new purse.
Yes.
Because I got some sweet, sweet cherry pie right now.
And I guess I get to keep my job.
and interact reasonably with people who are just trying to help you.
Yeah, like, maybe I love I'll how call like, my ex-wife.
Yeah, I love how it's like a lady scientist. I don't remember her name. Like, that's the thing. I don't remember anybody's
name. Oh, Dr.
name.
Psychologist?
Dr. Psychologist, yes.
That's how I wrote that down yeah. every single Dr. Psychologist.
Calvin.
Yeah,
whatever. is just like, this, she'll show you around, and then he's immediately mean to her,
mm-hmm.
but then keeps going back to her to being like, I need your help to break in. It's like, yeah, man, you're going to catch more flies with honey, you know?
Yeah.
Be nice to her. Just be like, don't immediately be like, robots are taking over the world. Like, look, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, you probably have a couple friends, Rebecca.
Oh, yeah, I got one or two.
Some weird theories about things, yeah, right?
Definitely.
Okay.
They're like, my favorite people to talk to.
And maybe you don't agree with them, right?
Oh, yeah, but they're so fun to talk to.
Right. But if the first thing that they do when you see them is like, you know that there's lizard people living on the inside of the world, eh, Rebecca? You know, you shouldn't be drinking coffee because that's how they get the nanites in your brain. You'd be like, all right.
Oh, yeah. You got to ease me in.
Thank
hey, how you.
You
doing?
Thank hey, you.
How's your mother?
How's your mom?
Yeah, you know what
that's
I mean?
The key.
Come on.
You can get away with the craziest shit if you ask how somebody's mother is first.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Actually, I think that's what's missing from most online discourse. Is like, we could get into a real heated debate right yeah. now, and we'd be like, oh, fuck you, this is the role of government in yeah. the economy, and like, oh, well, how dare you? And as soon as things get too heated, we both realize it as human beings, and we go, anyway, how's the family? You know what I mean? And the like, situation immediately diffused. But like, online forums and stuff, no one ever takes that break. And like...
That's so funny.
The problem is, right?
I just love in your mind, like in the middle of a Reddit thread, somebody's like, hey, how are your parents?
It's but
like,
we wouldn't, right? And the problem with a Reddit thread is you can leave the argument halfway through, right? You go, that's it. It's enough. I'm walking away.
Yeah.
But then that argument is preserved there forever to be taken up again at any other point and continued on. Whereas I go, you know what? We're allowed to disagree on this. How's your family?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That argument is in the past. Like, we've switched emotionally what this conversation is about. You know, like, you could think I'm still wrong and stuff, but, like, mm-hmm. it immediately diffuses it. It's not like we can walk back to that point in the conversation and be like, anyway, 6 weeks later, I got something more to say.
I don't know, man. That's funny, though. I just love to have somebody, like, yell at me or really disagree with me and then just cold stop and be like, hey, how's your family?
Right?
I'd be like, look at this psychopath!
I don't think you could cold
change
shop.
Change it on
is.
A dime. Like, oh, no, I'd probably walk away.
But have you not been? Okay, but you, I mean, I feel like I've been in situations where you're like, oh, we're getting a little heated.
Mm-hmm.
And for the sake of whatever our relationship is or whatever social situation that we're in,
mm-hmm.
we need to switch gears. Come on, you've done that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Where you're like, let's, you know what? Enough about politics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How's your mom?
Oh, I've literally just looked at people and been like, I don't think we're ever going to agree on this. And it would probably be better to talk about something else.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because some people are just too like, oh man, my brother used to date a girl that I, whoa. Anyway, we saw things very differently politically.
Yeah.
And she was very much a like rich people have earned their money too. And like, yeah, like really like some chilling shit.
Really? Is that a thing that you don't believe?
Oh my God. Yeah. So like we would have like these rules at dinners because like anytime it would get brought up, like it would immediately, like there was no middle. Like
the adrenaline is
both of us would skyrocket. Like it would start kind of slow and then immediately go to like 100.
Yeah.
And be like, this is an appropriate Thanksgiving talk. And boy, howdy, was she right. That isn't Thanksgiving talk.
No, absolutely. There is a couple other things I just wanted to quickly mention. Mm-hmm. The very end of this movie, so they've got to go out on this big like skywalk and inject these nanites or whatever to get rid of the
brain. I'm so glad you brought this up.
Because that is literally my worst nightmare. I have had like the, and I maybe mentioned it on the podcast before, but having to walk out onto a narrow balcony with no guardrails and accomplish some task high up is I have repeated stress dreams about that. That to me, I was like, no. And second of all, what kind of fucking organization has these walkways with no railings on it?
I wrote that down because I wanted to know, because I don't know. I'm like, are there just a bunch of buildings like this?
No.
It's like in every action movie.
Just throw some railings on there.
Huge cavernous like tunnel down to the core of the earth or something. You know, it's way too deep. You know what I mean? This seems excessive. There's no reason for this. And yeah, why is there no railings? There is no safety standards in this company.
Yeah.
It's insane.
And even if you like had a scene previous where you're showing guys in like fall arrest gear, tying off, clipping their things, moving through, and you're like, okay, this is a place where there are no railings for whatever reason. Yeah. But like, no, like you got robots and you got no occupational health and safety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's insanity to me. So that bothered me because that's literally my deepest nightmare.
Yes.
And the other thing that really, really bothered me, I know this is...
I'm hoping you're going to touch on the same point I'm excited to talk about.
This is a Will Smith shirtless scene. And I know the guy's a Luddite. I know he doesn't like technology, but this psychopath is showering without a shower curtain. you know?
Character establishing shots.
I hate all technology, starting with shower curtains.
And I like a wet floor, baby.
Oh, that drove me crazy. Like, have you ever been in a shower, like you rent an Airbnb or something, and like especially those like standing, like the old tubs with like the thing, and then like the shower curtain doesn't quite cover something. You can't get it quite all the way around. And there's just this like line of water on the floor where it's been able to like shoot out and like the carpet gets soaked. I was like, and this is your place? This is how you shower every day? You are a psychopath. You are a psychopath.
I don't mind, man. I just shower the way they have it. I'm like, this is your house. You know what time it is. Okay. If the floor's all wet, that's on you. Okay. It's not my bad.
I know it's not your bad, but like... That's a red flag. you date a
guy. Oh, yes. That's a different question.
If you date you go home with a guy, right? And you're like, this is pretty good. And he's like, hang on, I'm just gonna, you know, just chill out here. I'm gonna go jump in the shower.
Yeah.
And he doesn't close the door or use a shower curtain. And he's just like, well, everything's wet now.
I expect that person to come out in a little half towel. Like, that's what I expect from that person. Just a little half towel. They don't own anything that works. Like, everything's just cut in fucking half. Yeah.
I wish they made these bigger, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, that might be... Yeah, that'd probably be a deal breaker.
I'm guessing that's not what you thought I was going to bring up.
No, not at all. What I wanted to bring up... and is the point of the podcast... is that, okay, Will Smith makes a very big and clear decision in this scene, okay? Because at a moment, he has the chance for for Sonny to either save the nanobots that are going to save, you know, the world, essentially, in our minds, okay? I don't know if this is contained to a city or, like, you don't really get to see how far it goes out, but let's assume...
The world,
okay? You have to assume. We're going to call them iPhones, okay? It's the world, baby. We're out here. We're doing it.
I love the idea, by the way, that there's a BlackBerry version of these robots. Like,
it's the ones they were fighting in the stockyard.
Yeah. They're just not very good.
Fuck it, BlackBerrys. Just nail and hair makers. Yeah. So he makes a very clear decision here because he has a choice between... Sonny going to save the nanobots, essentially.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to save Dr. Psychologist. Will, and this is like the whole like circular, like, okay, we've come, it's the beginning of the movie, we're making a decision, okay, and Sonny isn't like a normal robot, he has a heart, so he can like make other decisions. He tells the robot to save...
Dr. Psychologist.
He then jumps off, gets to save the nanobots. Luckily, okay, because we have to note that this is the literally the riskiest option.
Oh, to jump down like 40 stories, grab something, and depend on your robotic arm to slow your descent. Yeah.
So what he's essentially done here, because if they don't do this, it's over. You know what I mean? They're the only people that can pull this off right now. So what he's basically said in this scene is this one person is more valuable than everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy.
Absolutely.
It's an insane decision. And this is a decision of the hero. And this is supposed to be the moral of the story, essentially, is that people need to have a heart, and you have to have a heart for things to work out properly. And like, there's, you know what I mean? There's more to it than just logic. Where's your humanity, essentially? And it's like, well, actually, probably the more humane choice
is to let her fall to her death and liberate
the rest of your population.
Yeah.
And look at that as a sacrifice. It did work out.
That was a huge,
you know what I mean? If we're just talking about the morality of it, I was
sure.
Like,
of the many, right? And you raise a great point about, you got to have heart, right? And that's what makes humans humans, is like, we care and like, we think of this. But like, what nobody ever talks about versus this like emotion versus logic kind of thing is that there's bad emotions too. There's hate, there's anger, there's prejudice, there's rage, there's jealousy, right? Like, all that comes with like a, I need to save another human being because they're a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes that more clear-cut, logical sort of thing is a little better, right? I think, I don't know. This is hard to say. What do you think the ratio of people who have been saved by love versus destroyed by every other negative emotion is?
I don't know, man. That's like a whole other can of worms.
That's a huge can.
You know what I mean? Is there like purpose to be a lot? Like, because it's a part of the whole spectrum of emotion, right? Are you really living unless you're having the full human experience? Can you love if you have not felt hated or felt despair or depression or what have you? You feel everything stronger if you have the counter to it, but it's. I don't even know. It would take me so long to... And I also don't think I'm qualified.
No, I know,
now, mind
right?
you, most of the opinions I give on here, I'm not qualified. Yeah.
huge asterisks next to this podcast.
Yes, yes, yes.
We are not qualified for anything.
This is a comedy podcast. I would like to... Even though sometimes we talk about serious things, these are just our comedic opinions.
We did not win a Canadian Podcast Award for Best Philosophical
Can you fucking imagine?
Also, we're doing the shittiest version of philosophy where we just ask the question and go, guess you can't know. Let's sink in for a while. Keep you up at night. I'm sure someone's come up with an answer, but we're not going to give it to you. So, right.
Oh, man.
So anything else you want
to
say?
No, I think, in summation, I would say, I don't think... Like, in this, I don't think the villain's right, but I don't think the villain's right because I'm a human being.
Yeah. Like,
you know
what I
mean? Like, I can at least follow the stream of logic.
It's undeniable, as Vicky even said. And before we get to our ranking scale, I just want to thank our sponsor for today's podcast, Toronto Croissants.
Honestly, for a second, I was like, did we have a sponsor?
You're looking for a flaky pastry, Siri, or anything like that. Just find the nearest... sorry.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Sorry. I just... I love fucking with the algorithm. So I guess it's time to give our definitive ranking of how bad or how good the villain was. So this week, I got... I went through my old school communications, okay? So from an age, sex, location request on ICQ.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Right? To bots rigging the election and destroying democracy. Mm. I give Vicky, the AI in iRobot, a solid predictive text. Because we laugh at it when it's wrong, but it's actually getting things right about 90% of the time.
Oh my God. Okay. I did just a basic robot scale. So I've got from a Roomba to a war drone. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give him a sex robot. I am very unsure how to feel.
Love it. Love it.
Oh, man.
And before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, a couple ways you guys can support the podcast. If you want, as we mentioned, this was an audience choice. So every month we do one episode based on audience suggestions, and our patrons vote on it. So if you're interested in contributing and voting for which ones you want to hear next month, head on over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright. You can sign up at various levels, one of which allows you to vote. We also have early release episodes. We have bonus episodes, two a month for our for highest level of patrons. So check that out, villainwasright at patreon.com. And if you have movie suggestions, you can get in touch with us.
Oh, you can contact us on Twitter at @VWRpodcast. Twitter is one of our, I think, our most active accounts.
Yeah.
I also realized the other day that I like all of our tweets, and I was like, I must look like such a dick because it's because Craig runs it. So I'm like, oh, that's funny. And then I'm like, oh my God, does it look like I'm just liking all of my own shit right now? This is insane. Anyway, so you can follow us at VWR Podcast to see me liking our own stuff.
Yeah.
If you're interested in that. You can also email us at villainwasright@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions or like longer form things that you would like to say, we always love hearing from you guys.
Yep.
If opinions, things like that, just come at us on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want. Facebook, Villain Was Right. And again, if you could like and subscribe, if you have not already, I know most of you have, and we really appreciate you doing that. And if you're already a patron, we appreciate you as well. Thank you so much for doing that, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. We always love hearing from you. And now it's time for our heroes and villains of the week.
Yes.
So I've got mine. I felt like this was a good opportunity to do Craig versus technology round straight. But honestly, it's all been going okay for me so far. And I don't want to I've solved a couple problems. It's about to go bad. I'm knocking on wood right now. So I'm actually going to share my hero, which is about a time that technology actually helped me out, but just not in the way that anybody reasonable person would. So maybe I have a thing where I need to be right a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's a problem I have. But this happened over Christmas, and my parents had like redone the house, right? So this is like our first time there in a very long time. And they like redid all the bedrooms and things like that. So Kat and I are staying there over the holidays. And my stepmom keeps telling me, it's like, oh yeah, like it's a queen size bed in the room, mm-hmm. right? And Kat and I go to bed and we're like, there is no way this is a queen size bed.
What are we thinking? A twin? A single?
We are on top of each other, okay. right? Like there's first night, like Kat rolls over and like elbows me in the chest, like full on, like
full.
And we're just like, we've got a queen at home. We know what a queen feels like. So after the first night, we're like, is it? And my stepmom's like, yeah, no, that's a queen. That's a queen up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're lying in bed, like just on top of each other. And we're like, there's no way that this is a queen. And we're like, well, how big's a queen? And we take out our phones and we Google the dimensions of a queen, right? And we're like, yeah, this isn't a queen. I don't know. How do we prove that? Mm-hmm. So like, I try and take the measure app out of my phone. I like get up and I go to the side of the bed. I'm like trying to like scan it to like see how.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's not great. So it doesn't work, right? And then I'm like, hang on a second. How big's an iPhone? And I get the dimensions of an iPhone, and I literally end over ended it across the mattress to measure it out. It was a double.
Oh my goodness.
But I was just like, I feel so vindicated. And it didn't make us any more comfortable.
That's so funny.
Yeah, but we're just like, I'm right. This is uncomfortable. Now we can go to sleep. That's it.
So are you a hero?
No, the iPhone's the hero for working as a poor man's measuring tape. You never done that where it's like five hand lengths long? That's what we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Only with a phone. Measuring horses with iPhones.
Exactly.
Now?
Yeah.
That's so funny, man. So mine this way, I don't know, hero, villain. There's a mishmash of everybody in this. There's a collection of heroes and villains in this story. I was talking to my mom the other day on the phone and I got reminded of it. And I just think it's so, okay. When I first moved to Toronto, I used to live around the corner from a Popeyes, right?
Right.
And it's like Popeyes, in my opinion, is one of these fast food restaurants where that is vastly different from location to location.
Sure.
Okay, so like some Popeyes are pure garbage, okay?
Yep.
Other ones, this one was slamming, okay? Delicious, 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 okay? Always, always good, okay? So when I first moved to Toronto, quite a sad girl, okay? Quite depressed, didn't have a lot of friends, didn't know what I was doing, comedy wasn't going that great. I would eat there quite a bit, okay? So much so that I put on a couple of pounds, but whatever. Anyway, one night I go out drinking, okay? And I go out drinking, okay? I go to, Dance Cave. If you're familiar in Toronto, it is a dive, okay? So I go out super drinking. I'm so drunk that I spent all my money and I had to get my boyfriend at the time to come out. He was waiting at my place. I had to get him to come out with money. He came outside. I was bawling my eyes out. And he's like, "Why are you crying?" And my answer to that was, "I'm crying for Africa." That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I'm crying for Africa. That's the whitest shit I've ever heard in my life. I guess I was in the cab and this guy was telling me this really sad story. He was from Africa and he was telling me this really sad story and I started to bawl my eyes out. And I was just like, "For Africa." And I just gave him this huge tip, just bawling my eyes out. Anyway, so I wake up the next day. I just want to give you a description of how drunk I was. Okay.
Right.
So fired up, right? So the next morning, I am not feeling good, okay? But Popeyes to the rescue. You know what I mean? Popeyes, yeah. Baby, my place, right? So I show up and I'm not feeling great, okay? I'm not feeling 100%. But I'm like, you know what? This is fine. I don't know. I just felt like kind of like I was going to throw up.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'm somebody, I always know, I always have a moment when I know I'm going to. Okay. Like I am aware of when I'm going to puke, right? So I've paid for my food. I'm waiting for it on the side. And I can feel this overwhelming sense of something very bad is about to happen. But in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm going to puke. And that's the last thought I have because I pass out and I hit the floor. Okay, I guess. I obviously have no recollection of this, right? And apparently, I wake up, pass out again. I don't remember that part at all. Because when I come to, I think this is like, oh my God, right? I come to and I am surrounded by a flock of teenagers, right? Which is so embarrassing. And they're like, oh my God. And they're calling me ma'am and miss. And I'm like, oh, this is all terrible.
You don't understand the mistakes I made last night.
Like, I don't like any of this.
A ma'am wouldn't have made this mistake. Yeah,
This is a mistake. You know what I mean? So this guy is like, he puts me on a chair. I'm in like the middle of this lineup now. They haven't moved me anywhere good. Okay. I'm in the middle of this lineup. And this kid, it looks like I'm looking at the cast of Degrassi, man. Like these are kids. Okay. And this one kid's yelling, "We need ice chips." Like so true. Like we're in the fucking ER or something. "We need ice chips right now." Right. And the manager is having like none of, he doesn't give a fuck. This is regular business at
right.
Popeyes.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Like, he's like, "Get this woman out of my line. Like, I'm in the way," basically. He's just like, "Yeah, could we get you to move, right?" And this kid, because, like, I'm obviously pretty flush at this, but I'm not feeling good. The kid is like, "Okay, man, we got to take your jacket off. Like, you're sweating, whatever." But because I was so hungover, I had put a white t-shirt on and no bra and then put my jacket on over top. So this kid's trying to take my jacket off and me like a psychopath. I'm like, no, you can't take my jacket off. Because I'm like, my tees are going to be out. Like, I can't take this jacket off. Okay, this is going to be a lewd scene pretty quick, right? So I sit down, I get half a sip of iced tea in me and I'm fine immediately. It was very clearly like I had like a too hard of a drop in blood sugar, something, you know what I mean? I was going through withdrawal or whatever. Okay. Like I just, that's all that happened. As soon as I started drinking some sugar, I felt immediately good. But they called an ambulance. So now I'm sitting in this Popeyes getting examined by two women who are like, "You seem fine." And they're talking to me like I called them. I'm like, "Bitch, I know I'm fine. I'm okay." And I'm like, "Listen, they're like, okay, like, do you want us to monitor you? What do you want here? And I'm like, I'm totally fine. I was like, I live around the corner. Let me just, and they're like, okay, we're going to watch you walk home. And then these two EMTs watched me walk home. Okay. I got home and I got to tell you, I was so embarrassed that I didn't go to Popeyes for like 6 months and I dropped 15 pounds. So all this to say, if you want to learn a lesson, and you want to go on a diet, just pass out in that place.
Yeah,
just
drink, do something, drink so much.
Do something so incredibly embarrassing that you cannot return.
Remember, asterisks, we are not experts.
Problem solved.
Oh, that's so good. That's great. Love it.
Hero, villain, who knows?
Yeah. I'm going to say mostly heroes in that. Mostly EMTs, heroes. The teenagers know what's up.
That manager not giving a fuck.
That's kind of a villain.
I know, but so funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so funny.
Same shit, different bio.
Yeah, this is Popeye's baby. It's basically Roadhouse in here. Oh, man alive. Anyway, well, where can people follow you,
Craig? Yeah, you can get me at CraigFay Comedy on Twitter, CraigFay.com for show dates.
Yeah, and you can follow me at Rebecca Reeds and check out RebeccaReeds.com for show dates for myself. Next week, we're going to be talking about Disney's Hercules. It's going to be so fun. I'm really excited for you guys to listen to that episode. It's going to be great. And that's it for us here at The Villain Was Right, reminding you your children might be your demise.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.